doing the whole 6010.
Fantasy Focus Football is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways you could save. Fields, Stefania, Mike here on Friday, September 16th. Can't wait for week two. We'll dive right into it in just a few minutes. If you want to get interactive, go ahead and join the YouTube chat where our guy Kyle Soppy is holding it down. You can ask us about any and everything. Lineup questions, what kind of hair product Mike Clay uses, what kind of shake weight Stefania uses. All kinds of questions there to be answered. Kyle, good morning to you, my guy.
Good morning. Bring it on. I'll take on anything. We've had cereal questions. We've had football questions. We've had flex questions. Any and everything.
Literally anything goes.
We're going to get his own camera now.
Well, he deserves one. He deserves his own studio, his own camera, his own podcast. Kyle deserves Kyle the world. I have said it many times, but he is an invaluable part of our operation here at ESPN. We're going to preview 12 games left because we went through three yesterday. Mm-hmm. We, of course, had Thursday night football. If you missed the three games we previewed end of yesterday's show, you can dive into Panthers, Giants, and a couple of others. We got 12 more to get to. But first, we're going to talk about Thursday night football. The Chiefs are 2-0. The Chargers are hurting after last night, Stefania. And I mean that in more ways than one, not just because of the loss, because their star quarterback is now banged up.
Yeah, and if you were watching that game, my goodness, he took a shot to the ribs on a tackle. It, you know, he took a helmet to the ribs, but he also fell on top of said helmet right after. And I think that's what got him because it was sort of this compression injury. He was clearly in pain, wincing when he got up. And it looked like he wasn't going to be able to go. I mean, struggling just to run. When you have a rib injury, it makes it hard to breathe, you know, and not just in the moment, but going forward. And then he throws this dime of a pass. And so we see him stay in the game, but clearly he was struggling. Afterwards, x-rays at the stadium, and Brandon Staley says Justin Herbert is okay. He's because he's Justin Herbert. But also, Lindsay Theory reported last night that they expected to have more information today. I would not be surprised if he undergoes further testing, such as a CAT scan, so they can get the detail. The thing is, ribs, you can have a fracture of a rib, but you can also have these cartilage injuries. And the problem is, those don't heal quickly. They take a lot of time. They're very painful. You got adrenaline in the game, but that adrenaline is going to wear off. And so I would not make any assumptions about Justin Herbert just yet. The other thing to keep in mind, this is just a weird sort of confluence of events. But do you remember how Justin Herbert got his start in his rookie season?
You know what? I thought about bringing it up, and I figured I wouldn't because, because no, Tyrod Taylor.
It is a fact. This is Tyrod Taylor had a rib injury and was getting a pain-blocking injection before and ended up with a lung puncture. And that's how Justin Herbert found out he was getting a start. And the reason I bring it up is because you go into the mentality of the player. Because it is not uncommon to get a pain-numbing injection to assist you when you're getting through this type of injury. The question is Justin Herbert going to think differently about that? And so I just think it's something to throw into the mix because it's real. Mm-hmm. And we will see what happens with practice this week, but I wouldn't take anything for granted at this point.
We'll get an update in 5 days. As of course, they're going to take the long weekend. They are back on the field in Sunday of week three. We'll monitor that one very closely. Mike Williams, as we said yesterday, you start him and you get the good, you get the bad. Last night, you got the very good.
You did. 10 targets, 8 catches, 113 yards and a touchdown. And I was thinking about you the whole time because we spent the whole offseason and you kept pounding the table like, look, this is what's going to happen. You draft this guy, you're going to have some duds. We got that in week one. And Kyle had a stat here. It's the fourth time since the beginning of 2020 he followed a sub-5-point game with a 20-plus point game. I think the most promising thing here was something that we talked about yesterday, which was his average depth of target went way up yesterday, more targets downfield. That's a good sign, obviously. Not shocking, though. We kind of expected them to get him the ball downfield more often. So, you know, Mike Williams is Mike Williams. You just keep starting him every week. You're going to have some down weeks. You're going to have some great weeks.
Average depth of target last night, 13.4 yards compared to 4.3 yards in week one.
We like that more.
More. On the wide receiver front, Mike, you made the case for Josh Palmer. A lot of people were thinking, like, Josh Palmer could have a night. And I got to be honest with you. So we were saved at the very end of the game as he catches a touchdown pass,
yes,
Mike.
Yes, we were.
However,
yeah, we were.
I would have been okay with it even if he didn't catch that pass because he was the number two wide receiver. He plays. He got 8 looks last night. I would take 8 looks on a Chargers offense.
Yeah, process over result, right?
Correct. Yep.
For sure. Played 90% of the snaps. That was the second most in his career. It was as we expected. And he did see a lot of targets. Some of them were off the mark early on. He drew a PI. One of them may have been his fault on a bad route. He should have sat. He ran a slant, whatever it may be. the volume is there. That's what we wanted to see. And if Allen misses another game, then we're going to feel pretty good, I think, about Palmer as a flex again.
Another player that stands to benefit if Keenan Allen is out again is Gerald Everett, who had 10 targets last night. He had 6 catches for 71 yards. He, of course, was the target on the play that turned the game, really, as Justin Herbert tried to throw the ball to Everett. It was picked off by Jalen Watson of the Chiefs, who ran it 100 yards back for a touchdown. But if you're looking for a tight end, or if yours struggles again out of the gates in week 2, Gerald Everett, at least he plays with Justin Herbert, and they're going to throw it a lot seemingly every week.
Yeah, 13.8 points per game through 2. Small sample, but that number would have ranked 4th at tight end last year. Yeah. The volume has been there. Now, Keenan Allen has missed a game and a half or a game and a quarter. So we have to consider that, but
really again, good athlete though. Like he's been a good player for a while. He just hasn't seen opportunities
for sure. And in this offense, even when Allen's back, there's a chance he could flirt with tight end one number. So definitely if you need help there, he's an option.
Herbert went right back to him, by the way, which was good. It wasn't like that was the end of his night after that.
Definitely wasn't his fault. He was trying to get out of the game and the Chargers. We'll dive into that on a different platform, maybe NFL Live, but, Kyle, make a note of this. Next week, I want to talk about Austin Eckler because it finished okay, but there were some things that I think people should be mindful of in the first 3 quarters from Austin Eckler. For the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes wasn't great necessarily last night, but I thought some of that was due to the Chargers just playing really good defense, kind of a ho-hum night for Travis Kelce. But the two thoughts here is, one, Clyde Edwards-Helaire leads the way for the backs, Mike, and solid performance. 4 catches, yes, last night. That was good and a long run.
Yeah, but I have some concerns, big time. I think
you and I talked about it last night.
Yeah, I think if you have Edwards-Helaire on your roster, you're trying to trade him next week because he had 10 touches in the first game. Yep. Okay, and look, I know that they were up big and he didn't play in the fourth quarter. Fine, but he played the full game last night and had 12 touches. Yep. That's not enough, and he's just been way over his head. He's gonna once the dust settles this week, right? And you look at the leaders in fantasy points at running back. He's going to be in the top 10. He might be in the top 5 when, depending on what some other guys do. That's going to be your path, because if he keeps getting 10 to 12 touches a game, it's not going to sustain itself. He will not be an RB1. He actually was outsnapped by Jerick McKinnon last night, right? And that was the case in week 1 too. They were sharing that backfield. So I have major concerns about him sustaining anything close to RB1 production. He might be a borderline RB2 if he keeps getting 10 to 12 touches.
I feel like he's been better than what I said during the offseason, but the same concerns that I mentioned. Timeshare. Yes. We'll see how much goal line opportunity he gets. And last night, he did not get that, right? I mean, last night, Jerick McKinnon got opportunities. Travis Kelce, they tried another one of those shovel passes at the goal line, and Kelce was bottled up. It has been good so far, no doubt. But there are some indicators that if you are a sharp trying to maybe make a move, this might be the time to at least consider it with CEH.
And remember, he was good in the first month last season, too. He had a bunch of touchdowns, a couple 100-yard games, so we've seen this before.
Yeah, 3 guys played a lot for the Chiefs last night at running back. Obviously, McKinnon played some, as Isaiah Pacheco got some first half run as well. He did not play basically until the fourth quarter in week 1. Juju Smith-Schuster, so night last night. Again, Patrick Mahomes kind of called a shot on this. It's going to be 1 week, one guy. The next week, the other guy. I think you're going to have to kind of live with it. Like, you're taking your chances with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback if you're a wide receiver. But you're going to have to understand that not every game is going to be 8 catches for 75 yards.
Yeah, I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes. We should listen to him probably, right? And we really didn't. We're still like, I think there's enough here. And yet we have one receiver has gone over 50 yards in 2 games, right?
I think,
and
Travis Kelce is your number one pass catcher, and that's it.
And he was, what, 5 for 50 last night? It wasn't that great.
He'd had that touchdown, it would have been better. But
although I know you, Field, has some investment in Mecole Hardman, he had a little injury, took a step off the field. Justin Watson steps in and catches a long touchdown.
Yeah, of course.
Next play.
By the way, against Chargers all-pro cornerback J.C. Jackson.
Yes, right? Exactly.
The Chiefs just bring guys out of the woodwork and they run great routes and make big plays. Chiefs are 2-0. They go back to the field in Sunday of week 3. Let's get to our game briefs. But before we do that, we are gearing up for a busy weekend with Body Armor Sports Drink. More than a sports drink, we're running through every game left on the week 2 slate. And it all starts with the reigning defending Super Bowl champions looking to rebound after an embarrassing loss to the Buffalo Bills. Here's how it's going to work for us this week. We're going to go through with the lineup locks to start, hit the injuries, and then we're going to dive into the question marks. The lineup locks in week 2, there are a pair of them. Kyle Pitts, who I know it was bad in week 1, still not his fault. You have to play him. There's only so many good tight ends. And believe it or not, Cooper Kupp, cracks the lineup lock. Finally, Cooper Kupp is a lineup lock here on the Fantasy
Focus. I was on
the
fence on that one, but I decided he's done enough.
He's after week one, he showed you that he's not a fluke. He is not a regression candidate.
Indeed.
Stefania, no injuries in this game, which is good. No major injuries, except for, I suppose, Damian Williams would be the most notable injury here, but nothing major on the fantasy front.
Yeah, Damian Williams with a rib injury missed a good amount of the week one game and did not practice till on Thursday. So I'd be concerned about his availability.
And I think that probably the biggest beneficiary of that would likely be Cordarrelle Patterson, who had a career high in rushing attempts in week one. He probably will be back in a full-time workload as a running back in week two. Let's dive into some of the other discussion points here, Mike. And I don't think Daryl Henderson, to most people, is a discussion point. They're like, wait, he was awesome last week. Do you agree, or are you at all concerned about the possibility that this thing evens out a bit with Cam Akers responding to Sean McVay's public criticism?
I don't think Akers will yet. I don't know if week two is the week where he kind of makes a big leap, so I would stick with Henderson here. 54 of 66 snaps in week one, over 82% of the snaps. It was third most at running back. You can't pass on that in your starting lineup. So in the playbook, I actually do have him listed as a lineup lock. I know it might be a little bit of a surprise, but after his playing time last year, and after he played three quarters of the snaps early last season, and was a top 15 running back during the first 10 weeks of the season, I don't see how you sit him. So if I have him, he's in my lineup.
With you as well. I'm really curious to see how Cam Akers responds, both in terms of how the Rams utilize him and in terms of how he performs when he gets those opportunities, whether there are three of them, whether there are 10 of them, whether there are, you know, whether there's one of them. We'll see. But Cam Akers, a player to watch, even though he will not be in lineups this week. Allen Robinson, not great last week, Mike. He had just one catch. The encouraging signs were that when the Rams were on the field and throwing the football, Allen Robinson was also on the field.
Yeah, you're exactly right. 94% of the snaps, right? So he was out there with the offense, and that's going to lead to better days for sure. My concern this week would probably be it is a tough matchup. We've talked about the perimeter corners for Atlanta. That's one of the rare strengths on that team with A.J. Terrell and Casey Hayward. So a little worried about that. But again, I think he'll see more targets this week. So again, if you drafted him in the fifth round, sixth round, probably starting him.
I feel like this is the Robert Woods analogy from last year where he was out on the field all the time and just not getting involved. And then there was a discussion and then they started bringing, of course, he tore his ACL and that was the end of that. But I feel like after didn't love the play calling last week, I got to believe that they didn't pay Allen Robinson to come over there to do nothing.
The Rams have already conceded they need to do better with Allen Robinson this week after, again, just one catch for 12 yards in his Los Angeles debut.
First snap, bubble screen. Probably.
Exactly.
Good knowing Sean McVay, like that would not surprise me in the least. Drake London for the Falcons inside our top 30 this week, at least for you and I, Mike. And he was the most productive Falcons pass catcher last week. And I know the Rams have big names in the secondary, but that was like a vulnerability last week. They couldn't cover anybody on the Bills. I'm not scared necessarily of this matchup, are you?
No, I'm not. Seven targets, 74 yards in the opener. That's about as good as you could expect from a guy in his first game, especially because he missed a chunk of the preseason, right? Yeah. So for him to step right in and play a role like that and play a two-thirds of the snaps, that's a good sign. So Drake London, again, you drafted him probably to be your flex. You're going to have a hard time, I think, benching him this week. He just looks good. One of the better talents, certainly, among young receivers in the league.
As you told us all offseason, pedigree matters for these early first-round picks at wide receiver. Let's move forward to a big NFC West matchup. The Seahawks going to San Francisco to play Stefania's 49ers. Early forecast looks like it's going to be wet on Sunday. The 49ers are at least well-trained for that as they played in a monsoon last week. Lineup locks for this game include Deebo Samuel, wide back, we'll list him as a wide receiver. Wide receiver 7 on the board, productive both as a runner and a catcher last week. A receiver, I should say, last week. Stefania, there are injuries of note in this game.
There are.
Including George Kittle.
Yeah, George Kittle, who we thought, you know, well, we'll see if he comes back this week. Didn't practice Wednesday, didn't practice Thursday. I don't think it looks great. Never say never. Just yet, it's George Kittle. We'll see what happens with Friday practice. But as of right now, I would at least make sure you have a backup plan in place. And on the other side of the ball, Kenneth Walker coming off the hernia situation. It's interesting. He practiced in full on Wednesday, so very encouraging. Didn't practice at all on Thursday. Now, Pete Carroll doesn't talk to reporters except for Wednesday and Friday. Yeah. So it's really hard to know whether this was a designed scale back of like, let's just take it easy after one full day, or whether it represents that something actually changed. So watch for Pete Carroll's words today to see what Kenneth Walker does in practice.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that one. That much is for sure. Kittle was listed as questionable last week, so wouldn't surprise me if they again tag him as questionable today, even if he doesn't practice on Friday. But if you don't practice six straight days, would make me think it's probably still unlikely. You got to have the bigger picture in mind for your franchise tight end. Let's get into some of the discussion points here. And Mike, we had a conversation with Daniel a couple of days ago that he's basically all in on Trey Lance in a bounce back effort this Sunday. How confident are you?
So am I. We talked about him yesterday, right? Or maybe that was on the DFS show. Yep. But anyway, CSS DFS podcast. Check it out.
Yes. So many shows you can't even remember. I know, too many. Talked
just
about
too
it.
Many. Too many.
Hollywood Mike.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Look, I'm in as well. I'm in as well. I have him. Well, I guess I'm lower than you. I have him 12th. You have him 8th. You're a little higher as well.
I'm optimistic,
but I'm using him in DFS this week. He's good value play. I watched the tape. I watched every drop back he took in that game. And all the negativity out there is kind of shocking because he was not nearly as bad as advertised. I mean, the guy was trying to scramble in puddles of water.
There was no traction.
There was nothing. And he made some really good throws in that game. Wasn't a high volume passing game, but when he had to deliver, for the most part, he did miss one wide open touchdown. Otherwise, I thought he was fine. Much easier matchup against a defense that struggled against Russell Wilson last week. Much higher on Lance this week.
And by the way, I said the forecast calls for rain. I haven't looked at it that closely, but I can't imagine it's as bad as it was last Sunday.
Like, I think it's like chance of showers.
Yeah, conditions might be more favorable here. And again, if you're getting 10 rushes from Trey Lance, one of the elite athletes in the NFL, regardless of position, you have to like the floor that should set up for him. I know last week there was a low floor, but still, last week is in a lot of ways an aberration. Jeff Wilson set to step up, and it sounds like he'll be the starter at running back. Mike, again, So we've seen Jeff Wilson in previous years. Actually, two seasons ago, he finished weeks 16 and 17 at the time with over 20 fantasy points in each of those games. In one of those games, he had 7 catches. Last year, he had a total of 8 targets. It almost feels like the 49ers, starting last year with Elijah Mitchell, have, I'm not going to say shied away from throwing to the running back, but it feels like some of those, that target distribution might be just as likely to go to Debo Samuel out of the backfield. Kyle Juszczyk gets some passing game utilization. You could see some George Kittle tight end screens. Like, do we think that the passing game volume should or should not be there for Wilson on Sunday?
I have a hard time seeing it because you look at last year, there were the 4 games Mitchell was out, and you pointed out he had the 67 carries, right? So he was used often as a rusher, but only had the 6 targets, right? Yeah. So it's not like Elijah Mitchell was super busy in the passing game either. That started to trend up a little bit late last season, but not a guy that's a standout in that department. We might see some Kyle Juszczyk involved there. I think the thing going for Wilson though is that he may not leave the field very much. They didn't last week, and he probably won't this week either. So I feel okay with him as like a borderline RB2 or a flex, but I think his upside's probably capped a little bit in the pass catching department.
Better in non-PPR leagues, you're still finding. The question, though, is not whether he starts the game. It's with every 49ers running back for like the past 3 years, whether he stays on the field. As Wilson has shown himself, durability has not necessarily been a strength for him over the past few years.
Elijah Mitchell got his opportunity because Jeff Wilson was hurt last year.
Right.
So when Raheem Mostert went out, it was Elijah Mitchell that got his number called. So they've sort of played this roulette game with all of their different running backs. They know they want depth. That's why they drafted Tyrion Davis-Price again this year. Yeah. But behind Jeff Wilson is a lot of youth. You know, so Jeff Wilson has the most experience. I agree with you, Mike. He's probably going to be on the field the whole time.
I got Brandon Ayuk on my radar for this weekend.
Oh, yes. I think that he's one that not enough people are paying attention to because that connection with him and Trey Lance is real.
Yeah, I don't have him, and none of us have him as like a player that you would have in a lineup, absent being in like a super deep league with multiple flex spots. But the talent we know, we'll just see. Like there are a lot of players that I'm still in observation mode on just 2 weeks into the regular season.
Good matchup. We talked about him yesterday against this young Seattle secondary. Much better matchup for IU, much better conditions as well.
Let's break down the Rashad Penny value, Mike, in two scenarios. One with Kenneth Walker on the field, one without him on the field. If Walker plays, how much of a downgrade is that for Penny?
I think he might lose a couple carries. You know, you think they'd want to get Walker's feet wet a little bit with a few carries. I doubt he'll play a significant role, so I'm not moving the needle just yet. But look, if Walker comes out and looks really good, then looking forward, Penny might not be startable in fantasy, right? So we're just going to have to watch and see how that plays out. But for this week, I have Penny 25th, so certainly a flex option.
I'll tell you what, that's a hounding defensive front now for the 49ers. They obviously like had some breakdowns in the passing game last week, but they ate up that Chicago running game for the most part. Just David Montgomery, I think, had 16 carries for 27 yards. So tough matchup there for the Seattle running game. We'll see. Like Rashad Penny, as we talked about last week too, like hard charging runner north south, but minimal passing game utilization. And if Walker plays and takes away five carries, that depresses the value, as Mike just pointed out. The two wide receivers in Seattle, Mike, DK Metcalf looked pretty solid last week in terms of volume. Didn't have a ton of yards because of the Patrick Surtain shadow. Is he a must start this week? Didn't make our lineup blocks.
Yeah, I have him 23rd, so I'm starting him. Yeah. I like the fact that he was throwing the ball seven times despite the Patrick Surtain coverage, one of the best young corners in the NFL. But his average depth of target was 4.9. Tyler Lockett with four targets. His was 8.3. Both of those would be career lows, right? So yep. That's a little concern with the quarterback change, the dip in downfield targets. We'll see if that changes this week against the 49ers, but the matchup's not much better, you know, as we've talked about with Charvarius Ward, the secondary there. I know they're missing Jimmy Ward, but it's going to be a tougher, still a tough challenge. So I have concerns here for sure. Don't really want to start Lockett, who I have 41st, but Metcalf just too good. And he saw just enough targets for me to still put him in my line.
You know, it's funny. I was struggling with this, not emotionally, but just like on Monday night, I'm sitting there watching. Yeah, I was crying. Yes, I was crying. Single tear. Yes. Me and the baby were crying on Monday night for very different reasons. She, because she was tired. Me, because I was trying to figure out, like, Geno Smith played objectively well on Monday night, and everybody was singing his praises, deservedly so. My big takeaway coming into the season was that, like, going from Russell Wilson to Geno Smith obviously puts a significant downgrade on the value of the wide receivers. Geno plays really well. What was DK Metcalf last week?
Let's see. Seven short range targets, wide receiver 62.
I don't know. Wide receiver 56.
Oh, there we go.
Right? So I'm not saying that's going to sustain all year, right? But it's like, as well as Geno played, DK Metcalf was the highest scoring wide receiver at wide receiver 56. So mm-hmm. It's still a bit of an uphill challenge, I think, to get back to that consistent range of being a top 15 or so option. Certainly, touchdown equity would help that in a major way. Let's go to the Dolphins and the Ravens, and we begin with a few locks here. And of course, as far as locks go on both sides of the ball, you've got pass catchers of note. Tyreek Hill and Mark Andrews, both inside, are number one overall for Mark Andrews now that Travis Kelce has been removed. And Tyreek Hill at wide receiver 6, he had 8 catches in his Miami debut last week. Lamar Jackson, the third quarterback on our board. Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert have both been removed after they played on Thursday night. Stefania, there's a very important injury update here, and that's J.K. Dobbins, who may have a chance to play on Sunday.
Yeah, he's been a full participant in practice so far this week. It's interesting. I don't know if you all saw the interview that J.K. Dobbins did this week. I can't remember exactly where it was, so I can't cite it properly, but he talked about his injury in a way that he never has. Like, he started to give out the details. He talked about it being ACL, LCL, hamstring. Like, it's what we call a posterior lateral corner, and I think it finally explains for everyone why this has been so hard for him to come back from. But he clearly would like a chance to go. I talked with Jameson Hensley. He said he can't remember the last time somebody practiced fully every day and didn't play. So I expect that this could be the week. Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, said they had not come to a decision yet, but it would be soon. Here's the thing. Even if J.K. Dobbins plays, I think you're going to have a very restricted number of plays for the first time he gets his feet wet.
Couldn't agree more. I've got him as running back 34 on the board. He can get 8 carries and turn those 8 carries into 60 yards and a touchdown, but he's really talented. He also might get 8 carries and they go for 34 yards and he gets 0 targets because, as we've talked about a lot, they don't throw the ball to the running backs very much in Baltimore, and they would be smart, Mike, to be judicious with J.K. Dobbins if this is, in fact, his season debut.
Agreed. I'm just going to listen to anything Stefania says and J.K. Dobbins from now on.
Also, worth noting, like, during drills, he's running as the third. Kenyon Drake's running first, Mike Davis, then him.
I would probably lean towards fade than play here with J.K. Dobbins, but if your running back depth is already an issue or you're a big believer in the talent, which you should be, I understand it. Let's get to some discussion points here, and Chase Edmonds is an interesting one, Mike. He checks in RB25 in terms of our ESPN consensus ranks. You're just a couple of spots higher than that. I thought we had a very Chase Edmonds game in week one. Mm-hmm. 4 catches, poor rushing efficiency, enough volume to make him a flex play.
Yeah, and probably a larger share of the carries than I expected, right? He had 12 of the 18. I thought we'd see more Raheem Mostert in that department. So good sign for Edmonds if he's going to handle 10.
Mike Daniels already suggesting he needs to get more Raheem Mostert on the field.
Right, So that could mean fewer. I would say the ceiling for Edmonds, at least I thought, was like 50-50 in the carries, right? Yeah. So I think maybe he ends up there. But if he does that and still has a 12 to 15% target share, which will be like 3 to 5 a game, he'll be fine, right? He'll be startable every week in fantasy. So I'm feeling optimistic about him after week one.
He had a little bit of groin tightness last week that just cropped up coming into the game. So you don't know if that also impacted how they used him.
for the Dolphins. We also have Jalen Waddle right on the precipice of being the top 20 wide receiver. You know, I got to be honest with you. I think close enough to a lock. The most disconcerting sign, though, for Jalen Waddle is that his target share was just 16.1% last week. That play at the end of the first half, it counts, right? It's one of the best plays of the week in the NFL in week one, a long touchdown catch. But if that doesn't happen, and a play in which it almost felt like the Patriots are caught off guard by the Dolphins going for it on fourth and seven. If, and by the way, just had the play before, their starting safety got hurt, which kind of led to why there was a big coverage breakdown there. Are we, how differently are we talking about Jalen Waddle this week? Are you concerned here, Mike?
Okay, so in the offseason, what was our concern, right? We knew he was more of a short-range target. Yeah. They'd hand the ball to him. He'd get a lot of short-range stuff. Probably not going to be used a ton near the goal line. That was the, what we saw last year when he had a good fantasy season. The main concern was, okay, so Tyreek Hill is here now. Does his volume go down? Last year, he had six or more targets in 15 of 16 games.
Yeah.
He had five in the first game.
Yeah.
So that is the concern for sure, is that that has to bounce back, to your point. That has to bounce back. So, you know, like we said, we're feeling a little better about Chase Edmonds after week one, maybe a little bit more concerned about Waddle, but I think there's room for them to get manufacture more touches for
wide receiver 22 on the board for me. Mike has him at wide receiver 19. So still optimistic on the whole. He's a really talented guy. That much is
We're not
sure.
Overreacting in one week. Yeah. We're not overreacting. Just Ravens, moving the needle a tiny bit. You know?
Ravens pass catchers. Sounds like Rashad Bateman could draw the Xavier Howard shadow in week two. Howard, obviously one of the best players in the NFL, regardless of position. He's wide receiver 37 on the board for both Mike and I. The Texans go to Denver to play the Broncos, who are looking to bounce back after a, you may have seen it, disappointing finish to week one. Let's get into lineup locks there, and they both come from the Denver side. We've got Russell Wilson at quarterback 5 and Javonte Williams at running back 13 after he had 11 catches in week one. The Broncos, big favorites in this game, so I don't expect as much passing game work for Javonte Williams. And Stefania, that's like a pretty clean injury front here on both sides. That's good news.
Yes, it is. So far, so good. KJ Hamler appearing on the injury report, but let's not forget he's coming off a big ACL injury. Yep. That's why they keep him there.
Mike, Melvin Gordon probably played more than some expected last week. He got 12 carries. Has he already introduced himself to the flex territory range?
I think he's in the conversation. I see I'm 8 spots higher than you are on him. So yeah. I'm actually surprised by that because you were probably a little higher on him in the offseason than I was. But I liked what I saw. Look, he was out snapped 37 to 26. This is kind of what we expected. Javonte to take more control of the backfield, but he had 12 carries. Javonte only had 7. He was so busy in the passing game, they just limited him to 7 carries in the game. Only 2 targets for Gordon. That's been a trend. He hasn't been very good in the passing game. He hasn't been targeted very much. It's going to limit him, as is Javonte Williams. So for me, Gordon is a flex option at best with probably, I want to say a low ceiling, but he's going to have an occasional game where he finds the end zone on like a 24-yard touchdown and be fine. But there's some risk of some duds mixed in there for sure.
I think I underplayed just how close Russell Wilson and Melvin Gordon are. They played together for a year at Wisconsin. And as we know, Russ is all about, like, he's got all the control here, right? He's got, like, it's seemingly his offense, right? And I think that probably matters a little bit. I'm not saying it dictates every snap decision for the Broncos, but there's a lot of trust there between Russell Wilson and Melvin Gordon that might contribute to why he played so much in week one. So both Broncos wide receivers had 4 catches in week one. They both had 7 targets. They both had a catch of at least 30 yards. And I have decided that for this week, I'm going to go ahead and rank them back to back.
Same.
Jerry Jeudy, 20. Courtland Sutton at 21. You've got...
How dare you?
Okay, tell me why.
Sutton 21st, Jeudy 22nd.
Okay, well, sounds like we've got a board bet in the makings right
here.
Mike.
You know what's funny? I think we flipped from our preseason, right?
I know, because I guess I'm saying, like, I got Courtland Sutton at slightly ahead of Jeudy. I mean,
it's a toss-up, right? They both were on the field for over 90% of the pass plays. They were both heavily targeted. They're both really good. They both have Russell Wilson. They're going to score touchdowns. We're starting to both.
Yeah, it seemed like early on, neither one of them was getting a ton of work early on, but once they finally decided to start throwing to these extremely talented wide receivers, first it was Sutton, and then Jeudy kind of got hot, and then Sutton kind of evened things back out, but you feel pretty good if you have either one of them in your lineup.
They had to establish the Andrew Beck first.
I was going
to
say, establish the tight ends and fullbacks, Mike. Yeah.
Can we not have 4 tight ends catching passes this week for Denver?
Albert Okwuegbunam is tight end 11 on Mike's board. He did have a fairly useful role on Monday night. Again, we joke about it, but they were targeting him and other tight ends quite a bit early.
They were 7 targets that was tied for 6th among tight ends, but here's the big notable that he ran 45 pass plays. He ran around on 33 of those 45 plays. That was more than KJ Hamler. It was more than Javonte Williams. Yeah. So he was very busy in the passing game. That's what we wanted to see. He is 11th on my board. I'm starting him in 12 teamers.
Again, I think if you are looking at these Texans running backs, you have to just go back to the objective data from week one. Damian Pierce was out-snapped, out-rushed, out-yardaged, out-receptioned. I'm making these words up, but they get the point across. Rex Burkhead outpaced him in basically every notable category in week one, and Lovie Smith has said, we need to get Damian Pierce more on the field. I think, though, until we see it, you have to play Burkhead over Damian Pierce until further notice.
Yeah, 19 snaps. You want to play? Do you want to start a guy that had 19 snaps?
Probably not.
You want 19 touches, not right. 19 snaps, right? So can't do it yet. Leave him on your bench. If he was dropped in your league, you want to pick him up and get him on your bench because his role will increase. By the way, Denver allowed the fewest fantasy points to running backs in week one. Very small sample, but you know, Rashad Penny had some decent runs, but they just did a pretty good job containing him overall. So again, I don't want to start anybody from this backfield just yet, but if you have to pick one, it's Burkhead.
Brandon Cooks probably would be a lineup lock for almost everybody, Mike. The reason why we didn't mention there at the outset is just a reminder, a very tough matchup against Patrick Surtain the second.
Yeah, I would still consider him a lock. I don't know how you bench him, but to your point, did Surtain really good? Did a nice job in DK Metcalf. It is a tougher matchup than usual. I suspect he will shadow him in this game.
Should you bench Tom Brady? We'll have that conversation in just a moment. But first, Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Well, of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today. Mike, take it away.
Football fans, the first Sunday of the NFL season is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the NFL season. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. And as an added bonus for week one, or maybe two now, everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings' early win promotion. It's simple. Bet on an NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code FFF to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday. That's code FFF, only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Bonus issued as free bets. One early win token issued at opt-in. Moneyline bets only. Deposit and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Mike thinks he works hard during the week. He works really hard during those live reads.
Yeah, I know.
Bucks, Saints, lineup blocks. Let's get right to them. There are three, but I should note that one of them is subject to change. Maybe two of them.
Maybe
Tom
two.
Brady is
maybe
quarterback six.
In this game.
You know what? Quarterback six, Tom Brady on the ESPN rankings. Leonard Fournette is RB6. He's a lineup block. Alvin Kamara, RB10. But let's get to the injuries.
I'm just going to leave. Can I just go to lunch? Because it's going to take a while.
Everybody is on the injury report for this game.
Pretty much every offensive skill position player for Tampa Bay is on the injury report. Even Tom Brady didn't practice on Wednesday, but not to worry. He is the one guy who I'm confident is going to play.
Yes.
Full practice on Thursday. They're just giving the veteran rest. He is 45 years old after all. But Chris Godwin, we know he's coming off the combined ACL, MCL, did not practice at all this week after he suffered a hamstring injury. We've talked about it being potentially multiple weeks for him. Don't expect to see him this game. Mike Evans, here's one that concerns me because he showed up limited on Wednesday with a calf issue and then didn't practice at all on Thursday. So is this a case of them resting him to see how he does when he comes into Friday? I think there's a big question mark there. Watch him. Leonard Fournette had a hamstring injury. Great game, obviously played a lot, but the hamstring issue limited him Wednesday and Thursday. Even if he plays, I'm a little concerned just about this cropping up recently. And then Russell Gage, hamstring injury that he was dealing with in the preseason, didn't practice on Wednesday, limited Thursday. Russell Gage was active. I think he'll probably play, but again, he's still not 100%.
Didn't see a target until the fourth quarter in week one. Let's start here, Mike, and we got a lot of conversations to rip through here, so I'll do my best to make it fast. Tom Brady's the conversation for me. I've said this 9 times already on the podcast this week. I've got Tom Brady and Carson Wentz in a league. I'm playing Carson Wentz over Tom Brady. Tom Brady makes me nervous. The Saints have had the Buccaneers number during the regular season. Brady has been better, weirdly, in New Orleans than he has been in Tampa Bay against the Saints, as Mike told us a couple of days ago. But you've got Brady with an offensive line that had some major issues last week trying to block Micah Parsons. They're going to have the same issues against a really good Saints front. You've got every wide receiver hurt. Gronk is gone. They got nothing from the tight ends last week. I think it's a conversation. I'm not saying everybody should go out there and just bench Tom Brady because your options have to be pretty good behind him, but it's a very, very difficult choice this week for some that do have a savory enough option.
Before you go on, that list was so full, and I forgot to mention that Julio Jones hasn't practiced all week. Like, he has a knee contusion that he landed hard on his knee. He didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday either. Now, I think that probably in this case you're going to see Julio, but add him to the list.
Mike, let's talk about Mike Evans, because you mentioned, just one more time, a reminder, really difficult matchup for him against Marshon Lattimore, if he plays.
Yeah, if he plays, this will be the 10th meeting between these two, head-to-head shadowing, which is rare. You just don't really see that. It's probably a record since I've been tracking this stuff. He's been held under 13 fantasy points in 7 straight meetings. He's been held under 5 yards in 3 of the past 7. So Lattimore has had his number. This is a challenging matchup for Mike Evans. You're going to be hoping for a touchdown if he plays.
Assuming Evans and Julio Jones both play, we do have Evans inside our top 10 now with players removed from last night, and Julio Jones is a top 25 play for both Mike and I.
Or should we call him Debo, right? 2 carries, 5 targets last week.
That was pretty good. We'll take it.
That's a new trend now. That like is. Chase Claypool and Curtis Samuel.
Who, he's done that 6 in the past. Carries last week.
Copycat.
Michael Thomas, a wide receiver 3, high-end flex option here, potentially a low-end wide receiver 2. Looked good. Played really well in the second half of last week's game.
Yeah, really quick. He'll draw Carlton Davis shadow. Yep. And again, he has had his number when they faced each other 3 times back in 2020, including a playoff game. 15 targets, 8 catches, 68 yards, no touchdowns. That's 4.9 fantasy points per game. Again, another guy who's had the receiver's number over and over and over. We've seen it these two.
If no Alvin Kamara on Sunday. Yeah,
and by the way, didn't practice yesterday. They did sign Latavius Murray. It's now looking more and more like Alvin Kamara might not play.
Mark Ingram, first man up. Latavius Murray, next man up beyond that. Mark Ingram, a reasonable flex option if Alvin Kamara does not play on Sunday. Patriots and Steelers. Let's get to it. And we start with the lineup blocks as always. Limited crew here for the Patriots and Steelers in terms of lineup blocks. We got one. It is Deontay Johnson. We got a sort of a mixed up full screen right there. Ignore the bottom 4 players. It's just Deontay Johnson in terms of locks for Patriots and Steelers. Couple of injury notes here, Stefania, and that begins with Mac Jones, who's fine as far as his back is concerned, but now he's not feeling so good.
So we think, but then he misses practice on Thursday because of an illness. Yeah. So we'll see what happens today. And then Najee Harris for the Steelers. We know we talked about this. He got bent up like a pretzel last week, but he said he's ready to play. Mike Tomlin said he needs to prove his readiness to play. I do think you're going to end up seeing Najee Harris, which is pretty amazing if you just go back and look at how he got bent.
Yeah, it looked nasty at the time. Mike, you and I have him as a top 12 running back. He also makes me a tiny bit concerned, though. The offensive line was terrible. The Patriots' run defense was probably the best thing they did last Sunday in week 1. You're hoping for some good passing game volume here for Najee Harris. Let's get into some of our conversations here, Mike. We all have Pat Freiermuth as a top 7 play amongst tight ends. Really busy last week, so we can probably comfortably play him.
Yeah, tight end 7 for all of us, so we're starting him. Yeah.
But let's get to the Patriots running backs here, Mike. Ty Montgomery is out. One of the questions is, will Ramondre Stevenson assume that role as the pass-catching running back? And there's reason to believe, but I'm also not totally certain. You know why? Because it's the Patriots and running backs.
Exactly. And for all we know, Pierre Strong will handle that role. Yes. It's real possible. Yeah. It's a real possibility. That was the, you know, during training camp, there was some chatter that maybe he would win that role. So that's something we have to keep an eye on. Hopefully it's Stevenson. We want to see him use more. He was actually, Montgomery ran 13 routes last week. Harris had 10. Stevenson only had 3. I mean, it was really disappointing. For now, I have them both as flex options, but I'm worried about them because the volume just hasn't been there so far.
Let's move forward here to the Patriots pass catchers then, Mike. Is there anybody that needs to be played amongst these Patriots pass catchers?
Not a lineup lock, but Jacoby Myers, at least 6 targets in 17 of his past 21 games. Just old reliable for Mac Jones, so that's a guy you can consider for your flex and PPR.
By the way, I've told him Mac Jones back in the building today, so I know he was sick yesterday, but sounds like he is good to go on Sunday for the Patriots. If he was not, then it would obviously dramatically impact the Patriots pass catchers like Jacoby Myers or Hunter Henry, etc. Titans and Bills, one of 2 games you'll watch on Monday Night Football. ESPN and ABC both have a game this week. So happy for our crew of Steve Levy, Lewis Riddick, our buddy Dan Orlovsky and the great Laura Rutledge as well, part of that crew. Really happy for them to call a game on Monday night. Lineup blocks: Derrick Henry, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and there might be one that's pretty close as well that we'll discuss in a moment. Any injuries of note here, Stephon, to keep an eye on? Okay. Mike, as far as the wide receivers are concerned in Buffalo, how close are you to making Gabe Davis a lineup lock?
Is there a more fun player in fantasy right now?
No, he's got to be.
I don't think so, right?
Scary player to finish off Monday night against. Like, if you have just, you're facing off just Gabe Davis and you're up by 35 points.
Like, maybe. He has that ceiling, right? Yeah. Maybe. 20-plus yard catch in 9 of his past 11 games, a touchdown in 6 of his past 8, including the playoffs. The guy's just a big play machine, kind of like, you hope he's, worst case, he should be like Mike Williams, right? He might have some duds, but he's going to have some huge games for sure. Gabe Davis, 20th on my board. I'm starting him.
Moving forward here to the running backs, Mike, for the Bills, we saw Devin Singletary not necessarily take the lead with a commanding charge in week one, but he did play the most snaps amongst Bills running backs. Comfortable starting him this week?
He's 30th on my board, way more Zach Moss than we expected, which I love because I love Zach Moss coming into the league. But as someone who, you know, wants some fantasy value out of this backfield and what is a really good offense, it's just not going to happen if they're using two and eventually three backs. You didn't take James Cook in the second round to just chill out in the bench or special teams all season. He's going to play at some point, and that's going to be a problem. So Singletary, not a lineup lock. I have him, again, 30th on my board.
Tell you what, I got Derrick Henry, another conversation to have a little bit more in depth after Monday night. And we'll talk about it on Tuesday, obviously. But there were some things that didn't look quite Derrick Henry-like in week one that we'll have to track closely in week two and beyond. Colts and Jaguars, this an AFC South game where we think a team might actually win a game in the AFC South this week. For the lineup blocks, we've got a pair of them, Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman Jr., both, of course, from the Colts. But Stefania, Michael Pittman did not practice on Thursday.
Yeah, Michael Pittman, I think, is a genuine question mark at this point. We have to see what he does today, but he has a quad injury. He was limited on Wednesday. He did not practice at all on Thursday, and I would be very cautious. Make sure you check, because here's the other thing. You guys know I talked up Alec Pierce. I like him as an up-and-comer. Alec Pierce would probably have a bigger role if Michael Pittman was out. Alec Pierce developed concussion-like symptoms early this week. He entered into the protocol, did not practice Wednesday, did come back and do limited work on Thursday, so there's a possibility that he's available. I know he's not ranked, but think about it. If Pittman's out, you want to check the status of Pierce.
Yeah, somebody has to catch passes if Michael Pittman is out. Certainly hope he is back on the field. He looked great in week one. Let's get into our conversations for this game, Mike. And the Jaguars running backs, fairly close on our boards. You've got Travis Etienne at 34, James Robinson at 28. Robinson seeing more volume, ETN probably the more explosive player, but a solid start, no question about that for James Robinson in week
one. Yeah, so we have a reliable veteran.
Yeah.
And then an exciting young player, and they both played exactly the same number of snaps in week one. This sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Maybe that old Denver backfield last year, right? That's the feel I'm getting from this for sure. It's going to be frustrating in fantasy, I think. So, yeah, I knocked ETN. This was my concern all offseason. This is what I kept saying. I was worried that James Robinson is just too good to keep off the field. Doug Peterson's going to love him. He's going to play him a lot. And this is exactly what's happening. So they'll have their big games. But right now, if they keep playing half the snaps, it's going to limit their upside.
Let's move to the Jaguars pass catchers here, Mike. And while Zay Jones not ranked, he did have 9 targets in week one. A good name for DFS for those out there playing against Mike or Clay. I mean, or Smizzle or Daniel Dopp.
How about eight plus targets in 5 straight games, including the end of his Raiders career? He's kind of having a mid-career breakout here.
Lots of targets for Christian Kirk last week as well, Mike. He had 12 in week one. Really good player for the Jaguars in the outset of their season.
Yeah, that was the fourth highest target share of his career, but I don't know if it's going to drop substantially. He's going to play a huge role in the Jacksonville offense. He was signed a lot of money to be Trevor Lawrence's number one receiver. We talked about him last week. We loved him last week. He had a really good matchup. And he has a tougher one this week against Kenny Moore, who's one of the better slot corners in the NFL. But look, if you have Christian Kirk, I have him. Where do I have him at? 24th, right? So I'm starting him.
Bengals and Cowboys as we move forward here to the next game. And let's begin with our lineup locks as always. And we have Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, the two Joes for Cincinnati, and Ja'Marr Chase, another J name. He, of course, is a lineup lock as wide receiver four on the board. Other players that will be close, but because of some injuries, have some question marks to find you. And there are three injuries of note here, including T. Higgins.
Yeah, T. Higgins left last week's game with a concussion, but we were encouraged. We saw him back limited practice on Wednesday. If you're following the practice reports, you saw that he did not practice on Thursday. It was not related to the concussion, but due to a personal matter. Nevertheless, that means that there wasn't really a lot of assessment able to happen in terms of his progression from the concussion. So Friday becomes a very important day for the status of T. Higgins. Also, Hayden Hurst, who we saw play a role in the passing game dealing with a groin issue, but I will say full practice both Wednesday and Thursday, so I'm pretty comfortable that he's going to be out there. On the other side of the ball, Michael Gallup, everybody wanting to know what Michael Gallup's status is going to be. We know he was coming back from this ACL injury, had his first padded practice this week, limited participants still. I think he's building towards full practice. I don't expect him this week, but it sounds like there's rumblings he could be available in week three. I'd still want to see it and see how much they used him before I was putting any stock in him for fantasy.
Love to see him making some progress. That certainly is encouraging. Such a talented player. Mike, let's get to some discussions. And I think perhaps one of the most discussed players this week will be CeeDee Lamb, right? Mm-hmm. Because super talented guy. He got 2 of 11 targets in week one. Now he plays with Cooper Rush. How much of a downgrade is that?
Well, I'm an 18. We had him as what, a top 7 receiver coming into the season. So right. Definitely some concerns here. 10 targets, 2 catches last week. That's a little fluky. Even with a poor quarterback situation, you're not going to catch 20% of your targets. I think better days are ahead. Still top 20 for me. The guy's so talented. And at this point, especially with Michael Gallup still looking doubtful, they have to get him the ball as much as they can. They tried to last week with the 10 targets. He's still a guy that I consider a lineup lock.
The Cowboys had a fairly even snap distribution for the running backs last week. Mm-hmm. Mike, did you learn anything, though, about Zeke versus Tony Pollard? And how are you evaluating or valuing them for this week?
No change. Still, sorry, just not seeing the upside with Zeke. It's the same thing. It's been, you know, 2 straight years. He hasn't been top 15 in points per game. I think we're going to see the same kind of thing here. You're going to see a ton of Tony Pollard in this game. He did have a slight edge in carries. They both had 2 targets. They're going to try to get him the football, but he's just had such a big workload. The offensive line is missing some pieces. For me, he's just, he's 22nd on my board, right? So he's really a good flex at this point.
And Tony Pollard, 39th on your board, 38th on my board. So, it just, neither one of them was necessarily great in week one, but Pollard, you'd hope that the pathway to fantasy relevance is that they say, hey, we're so thin at wide receiver. We need playmakers. Our quarterback is a backup. Like, we need to get yards after the catch. The best way to do that is create opportunities for guys like Tony Pollard, who are good with the football in their hands. But to this point, we haven't really seen that from the Dallas Cowboys. There was murmurs this offseason that Pollard could play in the slot, kind of like Austin Eckler. Didn't see that in week one.
Yeah, he does not have standalone value. Yeah. Nothing has changed from the offseason.
For the Bengals, if we don't see T. Higgins on Sunday, Tyler Boyd, obviously a very interesting name. Really good player, played well last week when he had to step up. And if you go back to last year, we did see him with opportunities to run as the number 2 as opposed to the number 3 in that offense, and he was good, Mike.
Yeah, 5 of his 7 targets came after Higgins left the game last week, which, again, is what you would expect. He just wasn't used much when Higgins was there. Again, same as last year when he averaged about 5 targets a game when all 3 were there, and then the volume picked up and he scored a touchdown. So, again, I'm only considering him if Higgins is out.
Let's go out to the desert, and I guess in this case, would Las Vegas or Arizona be more the desert?
Well, they're both.
Both desert-y. Okay, yeah, whatever. Yeah. We're going to Las Vegas. Go to the Sin City. And there are lots of lineup blocks between the Cardinals and the Raiders. Kyler Murray, James Conner, Hollywood Brown, all inside lineup blocks for the Arizona Cardinals. Meanwhile, Davante Adams into 17 targets in week one, plus Darren Waller, tight end 2 on the board right now. 5 players as lineup blocks. Expect a lot of points in this game. Kind of has that feel of a Thursday night football matchup between the Chiefs and the Chargers. As far as the injuries go, though, Stefania, they're a pair for Arizona once again.
Yeah, Rondale Moore still not practicing because of the hamstring issue. So even if he comes out for his first practice on Friday, I'm going to be a little bit nervous about this, but definitely stay tuned for his status. And then Zach Ertz, I think it's important. He had the calf issue. We didn't know what was going to happen coming into week one, and he was able to play, and he actually had a pretty good day. So he's still on the injury report, but he did practice in full on Thursday. He played 60% of the snaps last week. That's important because I think coming into the game, they weren't sure how much he would play, and a lot of it depended on how that calf felt. When he played 60% of the snaps and he said he felt great doing it, I'd be very encouraged about him. Obviously, Max Williams was back. He only played 10 snaps at tight end, 1 on special teams, and Trey McBride, just somebody to keep an eye future, maybe, but he was a healthy scratch.
I was surprised by that one.
Yeah, I was very surprised. It's not not great. Hopefully he'll be on the active roster and be a part of that offense at some point. I'll just say this, Ertz's snap share, his lowest since his debut with that team. So there's room for growth there as he gets healthier.
Right. Yeah. I think that was totally by design. I actually thought he played more than I was expecting him to.
For the discussion points here, we have Derek Carr, Mike, who was not great in week one, but he just was throwing the football down the field. That was a good sign. He was locked in on Devontae Adams, though.
Yeah, he sure was. And he threw for 295 yards and was QB 22 in fantasy. It's like very Phillip Rivers-like, right?
Yeah, even in this game,
he had three picks, zero rushing yards, almost 300 passing yards, and was not even a top 20 fantasy quarterback. That's a problem in the modern NFL. If you can't add value with your legs, and you turn it over once or twice, you're done. Like, you're just not close to a good starting option. This is why I love him in the preseason. We weren't, as an industry, like, we just couldn't get too high on him because of what he does not do with his legs. And we saw that again in week one.
Yeah, I have him as quarterback 9 with a couple of players removed. I think it's a good matchup, obviously. If you watched the Arizona game last week, they could not defend anything against the Kansas City Chiefs. I think Derek Carr would get back on track. Hunter Renfro did not see nearly the volume I was kind of hoping for in week one. I think is he a fade for now, Mike, or is he a stay away for now, I should say?
I think he's a borderline wide receiver 3. He's just too good to fail, essentially, I think, right? It's kind of like what we talked about with Jalen Waddle, where you are worried with the new number one receiver that the volume will come down. It'll limit his upside, and he won't repeat as a top 10 fantasy receiver. But we expected that in the offseason, right? We kind of ranked him as a wide receiver 3. I think that's where he'll settle in. They ran 43 pass plays. He was on the field for 37 of them, had 6 targets. Better days ahead for Renfro.
I also think he's going to be one of those players that has like a random boom game coming up. Like, he's going to have a handful of just monster efforts this season. It might just be that the consistency that we saw last year is not anywhere close to what it will be this year, just because there's a very, very large mouth to feed in Devontae Adams. So again, 17 targets in week 17 for Devontae Adams in week one. We're going to finish off our preview with a couple more games, a couple of primetime games. But before we do that, first a word from Body Armor via Stefania.
Fantasy football season is underway, and that means more of what you love. The teams, the rivalries, the stats, trash-talking friends. This season, you know your favorite players are hydrating with Body Armor sports drink on and off the field. Your favorite fantasy stars like Kyler Murray, Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, they all rely on Body Armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best and give you the trash-talking points you need. Whatever your workout routine, you're going to need to stay hydrated. And Body Armor has got you covered. Made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, and coconut water. It's a great time to grab some Body Armor sports drink for yourself. Everybody is focused on staying active and healthy, and hydration is an important part of that. Body Armor sports drink, more than a sports drink. Now through November 1st, buy any one Body Armor product at your local convenience store, scan the QR code in-store to enter to be one of hundreds of winners to receive $100 in DraftKings prizes. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to residents of U.S. 21 and older.
When it comes to choosing the top running back, wide receiver, quarterback, even which defense is right for your team on any given week, you know where to turn. When you're trying to decide on the right credit card for your wallet, the right mortgage lender for your dream home, or the right savings account, where do you go? The nerds at NerdWallet are here to help you make a smart financial decision. NerdWallet is a personal finance site run by money nerds. Think people as obsessed about personal finance as we are about fantasy sports, who want to share their knowledge with our listeners to help them find the right financial products for them. Let's say you're looking for a new rewards credit card. NerdWallet can help you compare cashback cards side by side, so you can feel confident choosing the one that suits your spending. Think of them like your weekly wide receiver PPR rankings, but you're comparing credit cards that work for you. Ready to make a financial decision? Compare and find top credit cards, savings accounts, and more at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all your financial decisions. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539. NerdWallet is not an investment advisor nor an investment broker. Information is for educational purposes only. Sunday Night Football, we've got some lineup locks between the Packers and the Bears. And some are saying, wait, hold on. Aaron Jones, he's a lineup lock, but not A.J. Dillon? We can discuss that in just a moment. Stefania, a key injury in this game, though, is, of course, Alan Lazard.
Yeah, and the hope is that they'll get Alan Lazard back. Back in practice, limited on Wednesday and Thursday, but it the hope is that you're going to see him available. Boy, would Aaron Rodgers like to have Alan
they
Lazard
could really
back out
use
there.
Alan Lazard, mm-hmm. who I have as wide receiver 34 after some players have been removed. So I mean, maybe I'm putting too much responsibility here on Alan Lazard, but between the tackles potentially playing and Alan Lazard being back on the field, I'm hoping for a big turnaround here. We'll talk about Aaron Rodgers in just a second, but let's talk about the running backs here first, Mike, because although Aaron Jones played more snaps than AJ Dillon in week one, Dillon was the far superior player, got more passing game work, got more rushing attempts. What do you make of the backfield this week?
Yeah, he played more snaps, also ran 10 more pass routes too. So even though AJ Dillon did have 7 targets in this game, which that was a career high, 10 carries, career high, 7 targets, I think that number will come down. And I know they have concerns at wide receiver. Obviously having Alan Lazard should help with that, but I do think you're not going to see most weeks where the Packers receivers are all at under 5 targets, right? Mm-hmm. Even the younger guys will start to emerge. Christian Watson could have had a much better day had he just caught that long touchdown. Yeah. And Romeo Doubs, obviously, there's been a lot of hype there. There'll be some Sammy Watkins mixed in. So I think 7 targets is not a number we're going to see very often for A.J. Dillon. And again, he played a very similar role last year where he was essentially splitting carries with Aaron Jones and kind of deferred to him in passing situations, which again, based on the route usage, was the same in week one. And he had a lot of duds. He had some big games. He had a ton of duds. I think it was 10 last year where he wasn't useful in fantasy. I think we're going to still, based on the way they're being deployed, I think we're going to still see that this year.
Yeah, and a reminder that Matt LaFleur earlier this week said we got to get the ball in Aaron Jones' hands more. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Let's see if he rewards those of us who maybe took Aaron Jones in the first round, second round of the War Room League. Mike, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, question marks this week as far as quarterback locks are concerned. How concerned are you about Aaron Rodgers after a very difficult week one?
Not yet. I mean, we've seen week one duds from him before. Was it Tampa last year or the year before?
It was last year against the Saints in Jacksonville. Remember they had the game.
Oh, right. That's right. That's right. And then he went back to Green Bay and had like a huge game, right? Yeah. Now, I know he doesn't have Devontae Adams, but again, I think that it's Aaron Rodgers, 2-time reigning MVP, a guy that's been a top 10 fantasy quarterback every year of his career except one. I think he's just, I used this expression before, too good to fail, right? He's just too good. He's going to find guys
he can
rely on
to
produce.
Himself. Like I'm this is one where I really need to see it. I picked him, I think you did too, as a bust for this year, just relative mm-hmm. to where he was being drafted because mm-hmm. He has been that, but he's always had people around him who have been able to match his game.
I guess so. I mean, one of the criticism of the Packers every year is he doesn't have enough targets, right? And this might be worse than in years past, but all he needs is like one guy to step up.
Right.
And I think he'll be okay.
Yeah. I mean, I know exactly what people are saying. The people that are naysayers are that, I mean, we're not talking about the same stratosphere between Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard, right? We're talking about maybe the most dominant receiver of the past 5 years. And as I said it once during the offseason, like if you were to stack the number one wide receivers on all 32 rosters and just evaluate them, where is Alan Lazard on that list?
Near the bottom.
28th, something like that. He's a fine player, right? But so that's probably the concern. But I think Aaron Rodgers bounces back. It's a faith-based evaluation, right? Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers, as Mike said, back-to-back MVP. Aaron bleeping Rodgers.
And keep in mind, go ahead.
I was saying, pride, Sunday night football, playing the oldest rival in the sport.
He does play the Bears well.
It just seems fun. If it doesn't work out on Sunday, we'll be concerned on Monday.
Yeah, I think it's 15 touchdowns, no interceptions his last 4 games against the Bears, which doesn't mean a lot, you know, in the new year, but it's interesting. He's had success against him. And by the way, was missing both of his tackles in week one as well. Those guys are really good. Jenkins is a really good underrated right tackle. Bakhtiari, a superstar, left tackle, and they're nearing a return. They might both play this week, right? I mean, they're close.
Matt LaFleur did say that him not practicing yesterday was part of the plan they had for him. But here's my concern. That knee of his has been up and down. Even he's back in there. I need to see that he can do what he's there to do. I mean, I'm a little nervous about him. Just because he's active doesn't convince me he's completely past the knee issue.
Last game here is the Vikings and the Eagles. Again, a reminder, this game also Monday Night Football on ESPN and ABC. Let's get to some of the lineup locks, and there are plenty in this game. Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, also all lineup locks for this game. Jefferson all the way up at wide receiver 2. No major injuries here, right, Stefania?
That is correct.
That's good news right there. Let's get into some of the conversations then here. Mike, Kirk Cousins looked pretty solid last week. Pretty solid, right, in the game against the Packers. Obviously, the Packers did not provide much resistance to Justin Jefferson. Is he a streaming quarterback option if you're worried about Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
Ooh, I have him ranked lower than them. I mean, he's 14th on my board, yeah. And that was after pulling Herbert and Mahomes, so probably not here. Remember, the Eagles' defense, really good.
Yeah.
It looked really good on paper, yeah. So he'll still hit Justin Jefferson a bunch for some big plays, but what do we think Jalen Reagor does? Revenge game. Think they get the ball in his
touchdowns.
Hands? Yeah. Two return touchdowns? Yeah, we'll see.
No.
Did you guys see the clip of the Viking special teams coach talking about Jalen Reagor?
Yes. No. He seems to like him.
Yeah, he's. I missed that. It was like the most. He was describing Jalen Rager's build in a way that you're just like, if you only saw the plain text, you'd be like, what are we talking about yeah. here, right? You know, like. Thick calves.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
he's
yes, yes.
Narrow
I did
but
see
stocky.
That.
Yeah.
Like, which yeah, website
yeah.
am I on?
There yeah, all kinds of weird.
Hit a wrong key yeah. somewhere.
Between that and Jameis Winston's yeah. anatomy lesson, yeah, it's been an interesting couple weeks yeah, here for
that
quotes.
That might be my favorite.
Anyways, back to the conversations here. Just go Google those if you want to take a look. Adam Thielen, Mike, he was fine in week one. Had about three catches for 31 yards. Adam Thielen, like, you're kind of banking on a touchdown if you're starting Adam Thielen,
yeah, only
right?
Only the four targets, but he matched Jefferson in pass routes, right? And yeah. at age 33, the concern is, or 32, 33, whatever he is, you worry, will they reduce his playing time? And that was not the case, right? So you still feel pretty good that he's going to play a big role, be involved heavily in what is a pretty good offense. And so you're starting him in fantasy.
And Irv Smith, Stefania, was supposed to have a bigger role. He did not in week one.
So it's really interesting. He only played 19 snaps. Yeah. And apparently Irv Smith said this was all part of the plan, was to ease him back. Because remember, he missed all of last year mm-hmm. with the meniscus injury, then had the broken thumb. So really didn't get too much in practice. He's totally healthy. But football conditioning wise, the plan apparently was to ease him back in. But O'Connell also said it was part of their matchup plan week to week in terms of how they use their personnel. So it remains to be seen. I do believe they plan on involving him as a pass catcher much more. Maybe your Eagles will focus in on Justin Jefferson and Irv Smith will have a sneaky good day. Maybe.
Last one, Mike. Devontae Smith scheduled to make his season debut.
Yeah, he must have been out last week, right?
There?
Yeah. He must not have played. Zero catches. Yeah.
Zero
yeah.
catches? What
Thank
the
you
heck?
Very little.
What do you do here, Mike?
It's tough. 39th for me. That was his first game with the Eagles without a catch. But again, we've talked about this earlier in the show with other teams that added a number one receiver. The number two seeing reduced usage. And for Devontae Smith, seeing zero, or what was it, two targets, zero catches yeah. in this game, that makes you a little nervous. But he was on the field for 42 of 43 pass plays. You know, but actually his volume... trending down since the second half of last year, right? His 7.3 targets per game, his first seven games, 4.9 since then. That's 11 games at 4.9. So I'm definitely a little nervous. I'm hoping he doesn't turn into just kind of like a boom bust. You know, you catch like a 45-yard touchdown and then right. that's it kind of player. Yeah. I hope not, but...
He feels like a better player than that. Like what? So yeah. what... Why? Why
low
is
volume
happening?
Game. A quarterback yeah. that scrambles a lot. You're running at yeah. the goal line. I mean,
I was going to say AJ zero Brown. Passing touchdowns for yeah. Jalen Hurts in week one, right? He was yeah. awesome for yeah. fantasy, but how many guys can be awesome without throwing a touchdown pass? Not many. Jalen Hurts mm-hmm. is one of them. So there are a couple of indicators here to be a little bit nervous about for Devontae Smith, but talented guy. Sorry. I just knocked over my water bottle. Hopefully he bounces back. We'll discuss it all and so much more on Sunday night, Monday morning as well. But before we get to that, a reminder. Fantasy Football Now, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We're on ESPN2, start to finish, this upcoming week. We cannot wait for that. We'll have all the latest on the injuries. Basically, every Saints and Bucks player will discuss that. Clay, of course, Damian Woody. We've got Lewis Riddick. We've got Adam Schefter, Daniel Thopp. We have Stefania. We've got Liz Loza. You name it, we've got them. We cannot wait for Sunday morning. Monday night doubleheader. We can't wait for that as well. Good luck, everybody. Enjoy your weekend and set those lineups. Get yourself ready. Let's not say a word and just see what happens. Just yeah. No one say anything right
okay.
now.
Okay.
Shh.
Just
quiet. Hang on.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us. Advice that we really trust. She's our Bay Area lady, always there to help.
a comb. She's your favorite gal. She's to find you bare.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.